Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Currently, all sites are on the conference line in a listen-only mode. Please note this call may be recorded. I'd now like to turn the call over to Ms. Zabre Valentine. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Zabre Valentine. I'm the director of the Commonwealth Club of California's Voices of Reform. Thanks for joining us this morning for a press call to announce the release of a letter to the governor and the full California state legislature in support of redistricting reform. The letter is signed by over 80 prominent Californians, and I'll not say anything more. I'm going to turn it over to one of the chairs of this process, who's Dan Schnur, former communications director for Governor Wilson, as you all probably know, and a well-recognized political commentator and educator. Dan?
As many of you may know, this is, if not a bipartisan, a multipartisan effort. And in fact, I'm a co-chair of the Voices of Reform effort, along with Fred Keeley, the former Speaker pro tem of the State Assembly. Fred isn't able to be with us on the call today, but I know he'd be happy to speak to you about this issue with only the slightest provocation. Although Fred is not with us, what we have today is happily not all 80 of the signatories of the letter to the governor and the legislature, but what we think is a small but representative sampling of those political and community, business, labor, academic, and reform leaders who've joined our effort. Joining us here today, and they'll all speak briefly in just a moment, are Jim Brulte, the former state Senate Republican leader, Bob Hertzberg, the former Speaker of the State Assembly, Kathy Fang, the Executive Director of California Common Cause, Alan Post, the former state legislative analyst, and Dwight Steinbach in the, from the California League of Cities. And we've asked these individuals, out of the more than 80 who signed our letter, to join us today just to give you some sense of the breadth and the diversity of those who joined with us to urge the governor and the legislature to work toward legitimate redistricting reform. Our effort here is simple, and you'll see the press release, if not already, within the next couple of minutes, and you'll be able to see the letter itself in its entirety on our website at www.voicesofreform.org. But our message today is pretty simple. The governor and the leaders of the state legislature of both parties made a promise. The political leaders of California made a promise to the people of California. Last year, they promised to take redistricting away from representatives of the state legislature and give that responsibility to an independent body. The governor attempted to do that through the passage of Proposition 77. The opponents of 77, including the Democratic leaders of the state legislature, committed upon its defeat to following up with an alternative reform that would accomplish the same goal. And we are holding this call and sending this letter today to remind them of their commitment and to ask them to move forward. Simply put, we believe that the inherent conflict of interest that results from legislators directly determining the shape of the districts for which they or other members of their party will compete in future elections contributes to the erosion of public confidence in government. It undermines genuine political representation and has the potential to negatively affect the quality of public policy. It's pretty simple. They made a promise. We'd like them to keep it. With that, as I said earlier, each of the others joining us on the call are going to speak for just a minute or two, but we're fortunate to start with two former leaders of the state legislature, one Republican and one Democrat, who bring two vantage points on any number of matters of public policy to California politics. But on this one, they're in complete agreement. So with that, let me turn it over to former Senator Brulte.
Why don't I defer to Speaker Hertzberg? And then I'll follow up since
such good manners.
Protocol order.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it much, Jim. Look, just a couple of quick points I want to get across. You know, in the 2001 cycle, I did my duty. The Constitution gave us authority to do redistricting, and we did it. I'm proud about the constitutional standards we maintained with respect to our assembly plan, but the process was horrible. I don't know the exact story that's told about making sausage. If you don't like laws, you don't like making sausage, don't watch them. And you know the analogy to sausage making. I would argue that redistricting is like sausage making on steroids. It's just extraordinary. It's one of the most difficult processes I went through. The reality is, I think that when you look at the series of laws that have been enacted, the voting rights statute on the one hand, and the various constitutional cases that have come down from the Supreme Court, the standards now have been pretty well developed that it would be appropriate to transfer that authority out of the legislative body to some type of independent commission. Courts are pretty strict in that regard, and I think that there are sufficient levels of protection. There's nothing more important, in my judgment, than having confidence in government, and there's no place that you go as an elected official or former elected official that people don't look to redistricting as an example where they've lost confidence in government. It must be restored. This is a process to do it. Jim?
Thanks, Bob. You know, before I was in the legislature, I thought it was a conflict of interest for legislators to draw their own districts. While I was in the legislature, I thought it was a conflict of interest for legislators to draw their own districts. And now that I've left the legislature, I still believe it's a conflict of interest for legislators to draw their own districts. And frankly, it's a conflict of interest that the legislature would never allow an entity other than the legislature to have. The process as it's currently in law is a flawed process. It should be reformed. The governor tried to reform it with his initiative. The legislature, many members of the legislature in both political parties opposed that reform initiative and promised once the campaign was over to get down to business and fixing the redistricting process. We're now well over 6 months since that election was over, and the legislature ought to keep its word.
Next is Kathy Fang, the executive director of California Common Cause.
In 2001, in a former life of mine when I used to work with the Asian Pacific American Legal Center, we organized communities up and down the state to participate, many of whom for the first time. In the state's redistricting process to provide testimony at the various hearings. And many folks found that after pouring their hearts out to the Assembly and Senate redistricting committees and really sharing what they felt was important about where their communities were and the issues that they cared about and why it was important to hold those communities intact, many people found out the hard way that redistricting remains a backroom negotiation that primarily serves the interests of the incumbent. And if you're lucky, you've got an incumbent who respects the testimony of the public. And if you're not lucky, you will be sliced and diced with no regard to the consequences, because ultimately this was a process about incumbent protection. We know from recent polling that Californians believe this system of redistricting is wrong and needs to change. In our Common Cause poll, co-sponsored by the League of Women Voters and the Rose Institute, we found that 66% of likely Californian voters support redistricting reform that would take redistricting out of the hands of state legislators and give it to an independent redistricting commission. And even amongst those voters who voted against Prop 77, fully 53% would support a move to an independent redistricting commission. We found that a whopping 86% believe that independent redistricting commissions are important because they want transparency and they want public input into hearings that are meaningful. And moreover, we also found that 78 to 81% of Californians' high propensity voters believe it's important to keep their neighborhoods and cities intact. And so it's with that momentum, even with the failure of Prop 77 to pass, we know that Californians understand that a promise was made to them, they'd like to see that change. And in this era of public distrust of our lawmakers, our state leaders need to do the right thing and support a real redistricting reform bill and put it on the November 2006 ballot.
Thank you, Kathy. Our next speaker is Alan Post, who many of you know from the years he spent serving as the lead analyst for the state of California. He's worked with members of both parties and brings what we think is a very important perspective to this discussion. Alan, have you joined? Well, for those of you who are looking to talk to Alan, we can put you in touch with him one-on-one. Is Dwight on the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Our final speaker, and then we'll open it up to questions, is Dwight Steinbachen from the League of California Cities. Once again, we think his inclusion is indicative of the breadth of support for redistricting reform. So, Dwight, by all means.
Thank you. Yes, just from a local government perspective, this is a simple issue, and that is that when the legislature focuses on good public policy, local governments thrive in that environment. They are once again become partners with the state in trying to deliver services. So, from our perspective, we would certainly join with the others in asking that the legislature keep its promise.
Yeah, this is a coalition that includes both supporters and opponents of Proposition 77. It includes those who both supported and opposed the redistricting of 2001. Our members disagree on taxes, on education, on public safety, on immigration, on health care, on virtually every matter of public policy that faces the state of California. This is one issue on which we all come together. One point of clarification before we open it up to questions. While we're holding this call in the immediate aftermath of the passage of ACA 3, the legislative vehicle sponsored by Alan Lowenthal and Roy Ashburn in the state Senate, we are, as a coalition, not supporting a specific legislative remedy. We believe that any remedy that takes redistricting away from the legislators and gives it to an independent body is a positive step for the process. ACA 3 is one alternative through which to accomplish that goal, but it's certainly not the only one.
SCA 3.
Zabri, with that, I think we can take some questions.
Terrific. Folks on the call, if you would like to ask one of the speakers a question, please press *1 on your telephone. And if Cameron, who's assisting with this call, doesn't introduce you, please introduce yourself as well. Please go ahead.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the *1 on your touchtone phone. If you'd like to remove your question from the queue, press the pound key.
We've drilled them into submission.
Someone must have a question out there.
We do have a question from the side of Mike Gardner from Copley News Service. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. How is everyone today? Thanks for doing this. I just had a question about the connection between the redistricting reform and the open primary. I'm not sure exactly who, but many of the leadership also opposed and put on the ballot the constitutional amendment to keep the open primary out of the hands of the voters. Wouldn't that be a much better reform in terms of mounting more serious competition than just simply drawn boundaries?
I think each of the speakers on this call can weigh in with their own individual opinion, Michael, but it's important to note for you that while that's an issue that we at Voices of Reform have discussed, we have not yet taken a formal position in favor of or against the restoration of the open primary. So individual members will have strong thoughts on it. As an entity, we have not taken a position.
How do you feel individually, Dan, and then we can run through the other ones? How do you feel about it?
I personally believe that the restoration of the open primary would be a positive step, and I can discuss with you at another time the parameters for it, but I'd emphasize that's a personal opinion,
correct,
not one of the Voices of Reform effort.
Correct.
Yes, this is Hertzberg. Look, I like the open primary a lot. I support it and would support it again. I just think that these are independent measures, both of which would need to be done. If you did one without the other, it wouldn't be as impactful. But clearly, they both need to be done in order to get as much participation in the process as possible. I don't know if this is accurate, but I heard recently that the largest growing party in California, declined to states, and I think there's a reason for that.
Jim, Kathy, Dwight.
I think that it's certainly competition is one of the issues that we're trying to address, but I think that there are actually a whole host of concerns that voters have expressed that they want to be addressed with redistricting reform. And I think that there are other issues that open primaries do not solve. So, for instance, we know that for Californians, one of the things that they really want to see is government that is transparent and responsive. And they felt a certain sense of frustration for those people who got involved in the hearings in having their testimony essentially flushed down the toilet when they ran up against an incumbent's interest. And they want to see that process actually mean something. For that reason, redistricting reform is important. Additionally, we know that it is immensely important to Californians to see the process respect neighborhoods and, to the extent possible, keep cities whole. Obviously, not always possible when you have a large city like Los Angeles, but when you have smaller cities like Long Beach or Oakland or even smaller cities scattered throughout the state, that there should be some respect for that. And the automatic choice should not always be to split them up asunder between four or five districts. And it's for those very deep-felt reasons that Californians want to see redistricting reform. Those are the kinds of problems that would not necessarily be solved by open primaries.
Dwight or Jim, do you have an opinion on this?
Well, I'm here to talk about redistricting reform. We have not had an open primary, the best I can tell. We had a blanket primary that the voters passed, which is different than an open primary. And we can chat about that on a different call.
Okay, great.
Reed, just to give you a little bit of background, Michael, we've held, and I think you can see a lot of this on our website, we've held a series of meetings around the state over the last several months with not only a lot of the 80 people who signed this letter, but quite a few others as well interested in various aspects of government and political reform. We've talked redistricting. We've talked term limits. We've talked initiative reform. We've talked budget reform. We've talked campaign finance reform. We've talked any number of issues. We decided to begin our efforts in the public arena with the redistricting issue, one, because it's an issue we believe is of extraordinary import, but also because we believe that there's an opportunity available to us this year that might not be available on these other issues. Given the commitments that the governor and the legislative leadership made at the end of last year and early this year, and given the early efforts that have taken place in the legislature, this is where we're starting our efforts. I would be surprised if this organization didn't return to other reform efforts in the future. But like Jim said, that's for another day.
And should I also then assume that you want to punt for another day the wink and nod proposal on changing term limits in return for putting redistricting on the ballot?
I'd say there are members of our coalition, who believe that the 12-year in either house proposal is a legitimate adjustment to term limits. There are others in our coalition who don't think that's a good idea at all. It's something that we'll address at institutionally at a future date.
Okay.
Michael.
Yes, sir.
You're getting a letter signed by 80 people. And they all agree on redistricting.
To get 80 of you to agree, that's pretty good, so I'll have to get that off the website. I haven't seen it yet.
You got Warren Christopher on that list, too.
Oh, good, okay.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good list.
I'm through with my questions.
Any other questions out there?
We have no questions queued at this time, but I'd like to give everyone another chance. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone now. It seems we have no more questions queued at this time.
Listen, well, thank all of you for your time, both participants, reporters, and the other interested parties who've joined us. If any of you decide that you would like follow-up information, contact information for both Zabre and Jamie Warner's at the top of our press release, they'll be able to help you. And if need be, they can put you in touch with any one of us on an individual basis. But thanks very much for your time and your interest.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.